edge of the world. Every day is game day.
This is
the future of radio in America.
The future of radio.
This is the future of radio.
The future of radio.
Rather extraordinary things.
Cyber Station USA.
100% homeboy. Radix Q.
To remake the world.
Broadcasting to the universe.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Revolutionizing radio.
This may be one of the greatest moments in history.
Team Gwen.
Definitely a switch from being on Team Blake for sure. Gwen has already been helping me out a lot in my stage presence area because I know that recently on the show I've been lacking a bit. So Gwen's been helping me a lot on moving and engaging the crowd and, you know, getting the audience to connect to you.
That's great. And what did you learn most from Team Gwen, from Gwen, and mentoring you and stuff? What have you learned?
Well, I've only worked with Gwen once because I just got to her team now. So what we've worked on recently is more stage presence. I've been learning from her how to, you know, connect with the audience and engage the crowd and move around and not be so stuck in one position, so she's been helping me out in becoming more animated and getting into more of a character.
That's fantastic, and that's what's great about mentors, that learning from the best, you become the best from learning from that, taking the certain criticism, looking at specifically your brand. Why should you win The Voice?
Good question. There's so many talented people here, and I'm just happy to be here right now, just making top 13. That's incredible. I'm so happy to have the opportunity to perform again. If I were to win, that would be absolutely amazing. I can't even imagine, but I mean, I can't even tell you what I would do. But I know I'm already so grateful to America for voting me through.
Hey, that's very humble, and that's great. All right, so now we're live here in the Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity segment. I'm here with Rose Short. Rose, thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Fantastic. So let's talk about your how excited are you that you're on Team Gwen?
Oh, man, I'm so excited. Like, I love her. She is everything.
Everything. So that's the thing, your excitement of working with her. What have you learned most from her so far?
What I learned most from her is just to be authentically yourself, to bear everything on stage and just be as confident in your gift. That's what I've learned the most from her.
That's fantastic, because when you feel confident, Rose, you exude that on stage, and it's all about stage presence and how you respond to the crowd or even the television audience, right, Rose?
Yes, absolutely. It's about connecting with the audience as best as you can. And I've definitely learned that from her.
Why should you win, Rose? You know, because you guys are down to the final 13. I'm saying, why should you win? Because you got to have that ego, guys. I'll talk to Joanna the same thing. It's great you're humble, but you got to, this is a competition. You got to win. Why should you win The Voice?
I'm going to just keep it real with you. I understand all that, but you know what? I feel like I've already won. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm here. I mean, how many times do you get a chance for millions of people to have access to your gift, to your personality? How many times do you have an opportunity to reach America and touch someone, to keep someone from, you know, maybe harming themselves, or just motivating them to do the same thing that you've done? So if I can do something like that, if I can help somebody, which is what I feel like is important at the end of the day, it's like I have a microphone to the world. And since I have a microphone to the world, I'm going to make sure that I do something that can change somebody else's world, because that's what music has done for me. So, yeah, you could, it is a competition, but I never treated it like one because at the end of the day, I know who I am. I know what I prayed for. And opportunities can come from anywhere because God's hand is not short.
All right, fantastic. Okay, we're here on the Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity segment. I'm here with Miracle Holloway. Miracle, thanks for calling. And
how are you
today? You excited? I
feel amazing. I'm excited. I'm just overwhelmed with joy and just glad to be here, man. Just really humbled to be here.
How does it feel to be on Team Gwen?
It feels amazing. I love Gwen. She's an icon to me, and she's just amazing. I'm happy. I know I chose the right coach. Gwen, she's dope to me.
Okay, and what have you learned so far from her that you can give to this audience?
I say the same thing. I have to say the same thing about being just confident and being true to who you are and just owning it and being authentically yourself. And I love that she brings that out of you to just be authentically you and to not apologize for that, but just be me. And that's all I can be is me.
Miracle, why should you win The Voice?
Yeah. So I'll say this first. And I feel the same way. Me being on this show, I've already won. No matter what happens, I've already won. But why I feel I should win, go ahead with the final prize and all the things that are that come along with that is because with me being on this show, it's bigger than me. It's bigger than me. It's about those who have given up on their dreams. There's so many people that have lost hope. I'm the oldest contestant on the show. I'm 44 years young,
okay.
And I'm here to prove that age is nothing but a number.
Fantastic. You're already proving
and
it.
And I just want to encourage.
And that's fantastic.
Yes.
All right. Well,
yes.
That's your inspiration, yes, Miracle, for sure. All right. We're back to the Neil Haley Show on
Thank
the Total
you.
Celebrity segment. And I'm here with Hello Sunday. Hello. Hello.
Hi.
So tell me specifically, guys, why... So we're kind of talking about this. Why? How excited are you to be on Team Kelly?
To be on Team Kelly is like amazing. She is like a legend to us. She represents all the women in this world. Like, she's just a big ball of fire.
What do you guys learn most from Team Kelly?
From us being on Team Kelly, we mostly learn how to stay out of our head, and we also learn how to just show emotion and be confident. And, like, we know, but we learn how to be more in sync with one another also from being on Team Kelly. And our blending, she's helped us a lot with that. So there are a lot of cons from being on Team Kelly.
I also feel like how we learned from Team Kelly. I feel like she taught us how to be confident in ourselves, like especially when we make choices, like on things that we do in our song, like just be confident in it.
Why should you guys win The Voice?
Well, me and Chelsea, we honestly feel like even though this is a competition show, we feel like it's not about winning. It's more so about getting up there, doing what we love, and reaching out to people. And honestly, even though we've made it to top 13, and that's amazing, we're so grateful for it, we're honestly at peace with whatever happens next, and we're ready for it.
I feel like with us, it's like, who in this world could say I was in top 13 at our age? Who made it to top 13 on The Voice? So I feel like I'm grateful and I'm blessed enough to even have this opportunity. But I feel like Hello Sunday should win because I feel like we bring something different since we are a duo.
All right. Well, thanks again for calling, guys. Appreciate it. We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity segment. And I'm excited to welcome to the program Max Boyle. Max, thanks for calling Team Kelly. How are you, Max?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. So tell me what you've learned from Kelly so far and also being on Team Kelly. It's got to make you excited, and you learned a lot.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, working with Kelly has just, it's been so amazing. She's really helped bring the best out of me. She, you know, you can tell she's so invested in working with us, and she really wants us to succeed. So she's really helped me out.
All right. Well, fantastic. And Shane, Q, thanks for coming by, and tell me about how excited you are with about working with Kelly.
Man, so working with Kelly is crazy. She is obviously a vocal beast, and she's given me advice, and I plan to apply everything she's given me to just become the best version of myself. And I'm just so, I don't know, like I'm just so blessed to be here and be working with all these fantastic people.
It's definitely, that's what's always awesome about the voices, the learning experience that all you guys gain from this. All right, we're back to the Neil Haley show. It is for sure. We're back to the Neil Haley show, and I want to welcome the program Mary Beth Bird of Team Legend, John Legend. How are you, Mary? And Mary Beth, and thanks for coming on.
I'm good. How are you? And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. How does it feel to be on Team Legend, and what have you learned?
Being on Team Legend is just such a blessing. I mean, he knows exactly what he wants. He's so incredibly talented. And, you know, he's given me so much advice and has helped me find my path musically, and is helping me find myself as an artist. But working with the amazing contestants on John's team as well has just taught me really, really wonderful friendships. And it's just been amazing overall.
All right. Well, fantastic. And then I'm excited now. We're back to the Neil Haley Show, and I'm excited to welcome to the program Katie Caden. Katie, thanks for calling, and part of Team Legend, right? And same question goes to you. How awesome
That's
is it
right.
to be on Team Legend?
It's super exciting. I mean, I'm like, I feel like the cool kid in class, you know?
Really? Oh, that's.
And I can call my friend. Well, you know, I mean, he is John Legend. Come on now.
Exactly. Exactly. So, what did you learn? What have you learned from John?
I learned how to chill. I have a big voice, so it's easy to kind of just like scream and be loud. I'm one of four. Come from a family of four, so I always had to use my voice to be heard. And he is really encouraging me to use the softer side of my voice, of what my mom always calls my pretty voice. And so that's what I'm learning, to take a step back and to learn how to grow from that small voice to that big voice. So I think that's what I've really taken from him.
All right. Well, fantastic. Thanks for calling, and good luck, yeah, everyone, on see how far you guys go. Good luck to you. Take care now. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. You'll listen to Neil Haley's show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Bye.
We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity segment, and I'm excited to welcome the program Jake Hoot. Jake, thanks for calling, man. Team Kelly,
hey.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Fantastic. Tell me how much you like being on Team Kelly.
It is an incredible experience. I went into the competition, you know, hoping for a chair turn period, but hoping it was Blake. But I think it's worked out phenomenally. I couldn't ask for a better coach.
And what have you learned from her?
Just so much. Just how to, I think the biggest thing I've learned is how to approach songs. You know, I used to, you know, singing in bars and in different venues and stuff. You know, you can become kind of a jukebox. And she's really taught me to kind of like slow it down and pay attention to the words, and really feel that and emote those feelings, you know.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
So other people can feel it as well. So it's been a really, really cool learning experience.
All right. Thanks, Jake. Okay. We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome to the program Will Bremen from Team Legend, right? Am I correct, Will?
That's correct. Team right. Legend. Great to be here, man. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. What have you learned from Team Legend and the experience, and how excited are you?
Oh, man, you know, working with John Legend has been nothing short of a dream come true. I've been looking up to the man since literally middle school. I grew up listening to his first couple albums, you know. And so to meet him in person, to sing with him on my blind audition when he came up and sang with me was just surreal. I'm surprised I didn't black out. But, no, John is incredibly humble, one of the nicest people to work with. Me and him have a very similar mindset when it comes to really going through songs with a fine-tooth comb and just analyzing the heck out of them. And it leads, you know, to us really bouncing off ideas off each other. So, you know, some of my songs will come off very crazy and out of left field, but hopefully it means everyone's having fun at home.
All right, thanks, Will. We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome to the program Ricky Duran of Team Blake. Ricky, thanks for calling. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. How much do you enjoy being on Team Blake, and what have you learned?
I love being on Team Blake. It's honestly a dream come true, and he's such a well-rounded artist. And I think, you know, one of the main things, or the biggest thing that I'm trying to take from him is his charisma and his ability to control an audience. And I'm trying to kind of absorb that and put it into my performances.
All right. That's fantastic. Thanks again, Ricky. We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity segment. And I'm excited to welcome the program Kat Hammock. How are you, Team Blake? How are things?
I'm great. Team Blake is the best because he just gives me so much confidence in myself and really believes in me, and working with him has been everything I imagined and more, and I still can't believe how blessed I am to be in this position.
And pretty much, and what was the one little thing that you could share with the audience that you've learned the most from him?
Blake just has me open my eyes more and express more when I'm performing. That's definitely, performing is hard for me because I'm used to playing a piano and kind of hiding behind there. So it's been really helpful to have such a pro and someone that's performed at so many places to have as a mentor and a coach to really, you know, take my performing to the next level.
All right. Well, fantastic. Thanks again, Kat. We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity segment. You're welcome. And I'm excited to welcome the program Callie Wilson of Team Blake. Callie, thanks for calling. How are you?
Hey, thanks so much. I'm doing great.
Fantastic. What have you learned from Team Blake, and how excited are you?
I'm so excited. I've learned a lot from Blake, but I think the most important thing that I've taken away from this entire experience with him is just to trust my instincts and trust myself as an artist. He's given incredible faith in me, and I will forever be grateful to him for that and appreciative. And I think just trusting your instinct as an artist to do the right thing and to make the right choices in a song, and how I approach songs is completely different now because of that. You know, he trusts me to do the right thing in each song that I sing.
All right. Well, fantastic, guys. We're clear, and thanks for coming on, guys. Take care. Good luck.
Good. How are you?
Fantastic, man. And it's like, you know, when you think about it, you're getting nervous, aren't you? Getting closer and closer to this big event.
Yeah, it's getting there. We have 9 days, believe it or not.
Wow. I mean, and you just see when you plan these big events that it's just the closer you get, the more stress, right?
Oh, yeah. That's why I don't have as much here as I once did.
All right, so go ahead and introduce our guest and another great Sopranos guest. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we have a great, great, talented guy. Most of you guys know him from The Sopranos, but he's done some other stuff. And I've got to know him over the last few months, and just a really genuine, nice guy. John Bianco, dear friend of mine. Say hello, John.
Hey, how you guys doing? And thanks for that nice introductory. And I appreciate that, and I consider you a friend too now, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And I think that's one of the most unique things doing the Soprano yes. event. I've got to meet so many cast members. Again, like I mentioned it last time, Federico Castelluccio is a dear friend of mine. But, you know, the more and more I get to meet these cast members, the more I realize what a great bunch of people that was chosen for this show. And I think that's probably why the show went so well. It was just a real nice group of folks, starting right from James Gandolfini. I think the casting director definitely should have got a raise. everybody played a great role. The camaraderie, you know, everybody just working together, just teamwork. Even to this day, 20 years later, 20th anniversary, here we are celebrating, getting ready for SopranoCon, the biggest event in Soprano history. And I'm just fortunate to have met so many different cast members. Yes. But like I said, you know, I can reach out to these guys and they're like friends. You know, I once watched them and idolized the whole show and was so excited to see it, and here we are all together, and it's been an amazing journey for me, for sure.
So now, John, is Mike?
And now we're friends, Mike. Yeah, absolutely.
So now Michael's part of the family, then, right, John?
Absolutely, yeah. and I mean, as he was saying, you know, casting, you know, I feel because. You know, sometimes I'm on both sides of it. You know, I'm involved in directing, writing as well, and, you know, certain independent films and things like that. I'm heavily involved with casting, and it's so important to get the right people. And then the chemistry. So there's so many layers that have to be involved and have to click when you're trying to get a film or a television series done the right way. People don't realize how much goes into it, and the chemistry between people, that's what really makes the greatness that you see on screen, whether it be the big screen or the TV screen or whatever. It all starts with that. You know, it all starts with you just got to have the chemistry, and you got to make sure that it's right between the actors, or you know, you'll see that awkwardness if it doesn't
right.
flow, you know?
Exactly.
That's what makes it special.
You know, what's interesting.
And I think that happened on The Sopranos. I think that, you know, it was just the way it worked, you know, it all clicked, you know, which makes total sense. So John, tell me about your introduction to The Sopranos. How'd you get on the show? Who'd you meet? What was the process like?
Yeah. It was a grueling process. I had read for the show probably for a number of years, and I had been up to obviously first to meet Georgiana Walken, who she's a real tough casting agent. Fortunately for me, she took a liking to me. And each time I went up there, you know, she pretty much just said, okay, you're just going straight to me. David Chase and Terrence Winter, the writers and directors of the show. And for each character that I read for, I felt like I did a good job. But obviously, I never get that call. So once again, my manager was like, you know, I didn't hear anything. And it was frustrating, you know. So I had been up there probably about 10 different times.
Oh, my.
And I had told my manager. Yeah, it was crazy. I told my manager, I'm like, look, I don't want to go back up there anymore because, I mean, obviously they don't like me.
Yeah.
Something's not clicking. And, you know, I mean, you get a lot of negativity as an actor to begin with. So it's like, now I feel like, all right, are they just abusing me or what? So the last time I went, I walked out of there and I was like, all right, whatever, you know, and it's like facing inquiry, you know what I mean? They are really, it's like the toughest, it's probably one of the toughest rooms to get through because there's like six people just staring at you and they're very straight laced, no emotion. They don't give you anything. So you just, you know, you don't really get any feedback from them. So actually when I was in the car, on the way back home, my manager calls me and she's like, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, what? She's like, you booked it. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah. I had gone in for Lou Martini's part and he had gone in for my part, which was Jerry Torchiano. And she's like, you booked it, but you didn't book the character that he played. I forgot his character's name. But anyway, so she said, but you booked the Jerry Torchiano role. So I was like, wow, that's awesome, you know. So needless to say, I was, you know, very excited. And it was just, you know, it was like a dream come true. Because it's like, I'm like, all right, you know, I finally got up there. So the first day I went up there, I was at the table reading. I went over to Terrence Winter and I said, Terry, it's killing me, but I have to ask you this. I'm like, I was at the point where I did not want to come back up to you guys. And
right,
he started
right.
laughing. And I'm like, you know, he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, because, you know, I had been in front of you guys like 10 times for 10 different roles. I mean, I was like, you guys don't like me. He's like, John, I'm going to tell you this right now. He's like, we knew we wanted to work with you. It was just a matter of which role we wanted you for. So that really, you know, as an actor, that really made it for me because it just answered all my own questions of self-doubt. You know, it was just
Definitely.
Like, wow, you know, they
wow.
knew they wanted
oh, yeah.
to work with me all of that time. And he said, that's why we kept bringing you back.
John,
because we liked you.
Was
but
it,
I, you know,
yeah, right. Was it perseverance, John, that got you this opportunity? Meaning like how many, what were your acting gigs before The Sopranos? And going into this process of constant auditioning and going back, you had that perseverance and never give up attitude. But what was your acting career like before The Sopranos?
Well, before The Sopranos, I had done, you know, several independent films. And the only television I had done before The Sopranos was I did Law and Order. I did, you know, Special Victims Unit. I did regular Law and Order, but I believe up until that point, because I booked The Sopranos in 2005, it was season six part, the first part of season six, the season six part one and season six part two. So technically it was the last season. And that was when The Sopranos was on that 2-year hiatus, if you guys remember that.
The acting strike.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the acting strike or they just wanted to go on a long hiatus. I don't remember the logistics of that, but it's what, you know, the first one, because we shot that in, the first time I was on set was May of 2005. So prior to that, I know I had done Law and Order. I don't know if I did any other TV stuff before that, but it was definitely a breaking point for me. And it was, you know, it was just great to be part of that team and, you know, because obviously I'd been watching and I was a fan of the show myself, you know, and every Italian in the United States, probably in the world, wanted to be on that show. So,
and that's so many other actors.
Yeah,
that's interesting because I've talked to now.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Now at this point, you know, with Sopranos Con, we have 55 cast members, and I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of them. And what I find interesting is, you know, this Sopranos Con is for the fans by the fans. So two other partners of mine, Joe Fama and Dan Trader, came together to put this event on, and we were diehard fans. But almost everyone that I've talked to has said the same thing, that they were fans themselves and that right. They wanted to be a part of the show any way they could be. And even those that started early on, you know, I talked about Federico earlier. I know that he came in mm-hmm. and he was a fan and he tried a bunch of different times to get on and he didn't right. want a day role. He wanted to really be a part of it. And even right. after he left, you know, he's in Italy somewhere. But when he left, he continued to be a fan. So I think that's very telling of how unbelievable of a show this was and why 20 years later we could still celebrate and still have a conversation about it, because even the actors were fans of it.
Yes, yeah. And the first time I actually met Federico, because he had been off the show by the time I got a lot of people had been off the show by the time I got on. But the first time I met him was at the screening of the first episode that I had done. They had a big screening at music at a Radio City Music Hall in Manhattan. It was a tremendous event. And I remember being there and seeing him. And obviously I knew who he was. And I walked over to him, and I didn't really think he knew who I was, but I introduced myself, and he goes, "No, I know who you are." And, you know, we became friends from that point. And then it kind of came full circle with him and I, because a few years later, another friend of mine, TJ Sansone, introduced me to Mike Resigliano. They had met. and Mike wrote this short called Lily of the Feast, and he wanted Federico. He was also a big fan of The Sopranos, and he's coming to SopranoCon, by the way, Mike Rosigliano. And he wrote this short, Lily of the Feast, and he wanted Federico to direct it, and then TJ produced it, and TJ brought me in, and I met Mike, and I was in that, and that is the short version. I don't know if you know the story, but that is the short version of The Brooklyn Banker.
Wow.
It was called Lily of the Feast, and there is a there's a short we did. I don't know if you could see it anywhere, but it's on my IMDb. But I played a different character. I played a different character in that than in The Brooklyn Banker. It was a small flashback scene of when the priest was young and when he chopped off the other guy's fingers. So it was a flashback to the 40s, and I had this old getup on. It was really cool the way we did that whole thing. I got to try to get that for you. You have to check it out. And then when they did the feature, he's like, you know, that role kind of disappeared. They didn't do anything with that role, and they said, you know, we have a bigger role for you, and you would be playing, you know, David Preval's son-in-law, which, you know, I was a big fan of David Preval. I mean, who doesn't like Richie Aprile?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this guy's like, he just looks like a mass murderer, and he is the nicest guy in the world. I love
he's
David.
He's got the Manson
anytime
lamp.
He's got the Manson lamps. I mean, but he's the nicest. He's a New York guy. He lives out in L.A. now. But I always tell everybody that he is the greatest, nicest guy in the world.
Wow. Yeah, I've actually got to talk to him. I know he's out in California. He's actually going to be a part of Sopranos Con. And, the other interesting part of this is that, you know, not only did everyone click, and not only did it end up becoming just a real group of guys and women, is that, you know, you went on and worked on different projects together. So I know Federico directed, right? He directed Brooklyn Banker?
Yes, he directed The Brooklyn Banker, yep. He also has a little cameo in there. Yep.
And then you guys had the ability to work together after. Again, it's the nucleus here.
It really is, yeah.
The common denominator is The Sopranos.
And people don't know that a lot of times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they go on to other roles. And again, following actors, Michael, is a challenge. As I know of interviewing so many celebrities, they're in different shows every time. I see that John's got something coming up that's pretty big, right? In a role with in a pretty big feature coming up, right? That everyone's promoting big time. Right, John?
Yes. Actually, this movie that just came out, I think it was released November 1st with Danny Trejo. It's called Bare Knuckle Brawler. And I play this character that runs these underground fight clubs. Joe Gowalis directed it. He's a very nice guy. It's kind of a gritty blood sport type of movie. And it'd probably be a big underground cult type of film. And then I have another film that I did up in Utica with Adrian Brody, which I can't wait for that to come out. Glenn Fletcher is in that as well. He's on Billions, and he played the killer in the first True Detective series. He's just an amazing actor. I got to play his right-hand man, and working with Adrian Brody, obviously an Oscar winner. He's a Queens guy from New York, and it was great working with him as well. So I'm looking forward to when that movie comes out.
You know what I was noticing?
Now you have another one coming out, right?
For sure.
Are you working on a project with Vince Serratola, an animation?
Oh, yes. Yes, that Wise Guys and Whack Jobs. It's brilliant. I mean, that is going to be a blast. Vince Curatola.
Tell us a little bit more about
Danny Provenzano. When Danny approached me with that, he's like, John, I got this great idea. He's like, wise guys in black jobs. I'm like, what is that? He's like, it's an animation series, a mob animation series that's hysterical. And I'm like, you know what? I cannot believe till this day that no one has done anything. There's never been a mob cartoon done before. So
no,
that alone
idea.
Is like yeah. shocking. So, and the way this is put together is really, I mean, it's hysterical. And he has, I believe the main writer is, Anastasia, George Anastasia. And he's the perfect guy because, you know, I don't know if you know anything about George Anastasia, but he's always the voice behind all those, mob gangster land, documentaries that are on. And he's like the guy that's telegraphing and talking about, you know, all the stuff with Gotti and, so he's like the perfect guy to be the writer on a lot of it. So I am excited about that and that coming to life. I think that'll be tremendous.
And for full disclosure, I actually am working on that project.
Wow.
The Sopranos Con and the Sopranos world is jet setting me into this world, and Danny Provenzano reached out to me, and I'm one of the characters. I'm the Providence boss. Mikey Smiles, they call me, and they like my accent.
You have a phenomenal accent, Michael, for sure. I mean, you're perfect. Maybe you could just walk into Sopranos Con and say, you might have missed me in this show. I was in the show. You just missed it. They cut me out.
That's right. Michael's going to sit there with his headshots and sign and sell autographs as well. So.
Listen, I was 20 years ago. Voice projects have happened since then. So obviously we all know Johnny Sack from Cervatola. He's the boss and wise guy at Black Jobs. And obviously John Bianco's in it and other characters in The Sopranos. We even have Joe Perry from Aerosmith. How big is that? He's one of the characters in the show.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
You know, it's a stepping stone for other people to do things. And, you know, Sopranos Con is not going to be your typical con. It's not going to be something where you come, you grab a couple autographs, you take a few pictures, grab some, you know, soggy hot dogs. You know, you're coming into Sopranos world. You're walking into what you've been thinking about for the last, 10 years since the show's been off. You're going to go through the Lincoln Tunnel. You're going to be at the feast, like a San Gennaro.
I can't believe that.
Obviously, cast members. Yeah, I mean, you're going to see the cast members. You're going to hear Alabama 3. But you know what? There's going to be a panel session with Johnny Sack, John Bianco, moderated by Federico Castelluccio. I'll be on there, and we're going to talk about wise guys and whack jobs. And there's going to be Soprano Sessions, the book that was written, and David Chase is the part of that. And we're going to talk about that. So there's going to be a lot of things to go on during the day. It's not going to be just your typical con. So that's what I'm most excited about.
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like kind of what the Miami Book Fair is for books for the Sopranos. You don't go to that book festival just to go with books. They have different features, different things that you get to talk to the authors. They do back and forth talks, and there's different things, and it's like an event. That's what you're doing. Sometimes when you go to some of these other cons, all you're doing is going in line to get a picture with somebody. It looks like you've provided so much more in this event, and that's fantastic. So, okay, Michael, we'll kind of get him back into the questions about The Sopranos. Go ahead and another question for John.
Yeah.
And just another note for the Sopranos Con. I mean, I feel like that Sopranos Con, it's like taking on a life of its own. It's really morphed into probably something even more than you thought it would, Michael, if I'm not out of line by saying that.
No, absolutely. So, I mean, I'm a big dreamer for sure, but that definitely was one. So John, let's dive into the Sopranos a little bit because we have a lot of people listening in that Sopranos fans and again ready for Sopranos Con. So, you know, you got to work with a lot of great people. I mean, you came in towards the end of the season. I think it was season six you came on. So you got
Correct.
To to work with some serious characters. And for you, different than most, you got to see those characters develop season after season after season. So it wasn't like this was a surprise. It wasn't the beginning. So tell me about one of the cast members that you worked with that you were just mind boggled. Like they were just like a whole nother person when you got to work with them.
Well, it was obviously, you know, growing up in Brooklyn and being a real New York guy, you know, Scorsese was a heavy influence in my life, and watching all his films and watching Frank Vincent, you know, in, you know, Raging Bull and, you know, Goodfellas and Casino. You know, there's certain people that I really wanted to work with, you know, Al Pacino being one of them, which I have yet to work with him. But so it was just kind of ironic how I was pretty much Frank Vincent's right hand man, you know, him playing Phil Leotardo. And I got to be, you know, his sidekick, his driver and his right hand man. It was just it was great, you know, to just sit next to him in the makeup chair.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to kid around with him and to tell
we have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA.
Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
To go get a shine box and throw all the puns and all the crazy things that, you know, everybody knows about him and his character. And then to just be right there with him. And it's like, you know, it's surreal, you know, because I mean, we're all, you know, we're all regular people, so to speak. And so we all still get influenced by certain other actors and other people. And then when you're sitting with them, and you're like, you know what, I belong here, and it's just becomes
exactly.
A great thing, you know. So just like I said, yeah, just kidding around with him and just doing all those little things, and then every now and then I would like pinch myself and be like, yeah, I'm here with Frank Vincent, we're working together, and it's just, it was great, you know. But working, I have to say, absolutely 100%, working with Gandolfini, I can't say enough nice things about him too. He welcomed me on the show from the first day I was on. He was never like some other people that I have worked with in the past that, you know, just start to believe that they are better than everybody else.
Right, understand.
He never let that get to him. He was a regular. He was a regular guy. You know, he was a regular guy.
Yeah,
he was there doing off camera scene work, everything. I mean, he just stayed there. You know.
Yeah, and at the point you were on season six, I mean, this is the height, right? So this is
correct,
you know,
yeah.
Soprano heaven. Everywhere you guys are going, you know, people are recognizing
exactly.
Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini.
Oh my God!
It had to have been surreal, right? I mean, at this moment now,
crazy.
You're working with these guys. You dyed your hair, right? Is that a story that I heard?
Yeah. So, you know, the character. So the character, you know, was written up as this kind of blonde surfer, California, you know, mobster that's never been seen.
Oh my gosh!
Before. And
okay.
It was kind of to me. It was like a side note. I was like. You know, so when I got on there, you know, I was talking to them and, you know, so I'm like, so what, you know, what's the deal? I guess you didn't go with a blonde guy, I said, you know, and they're like, no, we didn't go with a blonde guy, but we do plan on getting you in the chair a week before we have to shoot and we're going to make your hair blonde. And I was like, you mean for real? And they were like, yes. And I was like, oh my God. So. Then I was, you know, making a little extra money because they had to pay me an extra day or two just to go in to get my hair done. And
oh my goodness!
So now I know, you know, how some women feel getting their hair done. And yeah, I mean, the only thing that bothered me pretty much was I didn't want them to lighten my eyebrows too much because my eyebrows are very expressional, and then that's as an actor,
yeah.
You know. Your eyes or everything. So I was like, just don't make my eyebrows too light, you know, and I would fight the makeup, the hairstylist on that. But, you know, that was an interesting footnote. And then the other thing was after I killed Vito.
Yeah.
And cause the whole gay thing and all of that stuff. So that, you know, David Chase was like, all right, so your hair's going to be dark now because you don't want them to ever think that you are, you know, gay or anything like that, or you might get waxed.
Yes.
So we're going to have your hair put back to dark. So I was like, all right, yeah, great. I'm going to have my regular hair back. So put my hair back, and it was great. I was so happy about that. And we do this scene, and Gandolfini meets me, and he's like, hey, you know, Jerry, see that freaking blonde hair of yours, you know? So, and I was like, well, you know, I just, you know how it is. Like, you know, we had this nice little moment, and lo and behold, after watching the episode, I see that they cut that scene out, and I was a little disappointed about that because it just kind of like explained to the audience, you know, why I chose to put my hair back to the dark color. And, you know, so, but David Chase was, you know, he'd pull things that didn't make sense all the time. So, but I was a little disappointed because I had another special moment with Gandolfini.
That storyline that you talked about was very new to the scene. Wouldn't you agree with the whole gay scene of surprising in that
correct.
Season? And how was the response outside of? You know, the media, but the fans, how did they respond? Cause you don't have social media at this time. So it's more about, you know, meet and greets or different things, hearing about the conversation. What did you gather from that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Because again, I want to say that I don't know, you know, I mean, I think like my friends and people were just kind of like, where is he going with this? And this is kind of, it was so overwhelmingly shocking for, I think, the fans, because a lot of the Soprano fans, I think, are just like real blue collar, down to earth, you know what I mean? So the Soprano fans are not going to be like, oh, we'll just welcome in anything, you know? So I think it was a little tough, you know, going down that road, but, you know, listen, I got to hand it to David Chase and, you know, they wanted to create this other, you know, something else to go down the road with. And they did it, you know, it was a bold choice and they made it and they went with it, you know, as all his choices are bold and, You know, he doesn't answer. There was, you know, like with the Russian guy getting lost in the woods. And,
you know,
I always thought, too, that the guy who raped Melfi, I thought would, you know, Tony would get him. Like, you know, we wanted closure on certain things.
I thought that would definitely
David
happen.
David didn't care about closure. We all thought that, even us. We're like, okay, so when is this guy getting his beaten? You know, when is this guy getting killed?
I think it was the shock value. I think that's part of the genius of The Sopranos, is nothing really added up to the way you wanted it to be. I mean, here you have, you know, Tony Soprano, this big boss, and he's got all these problems. I mean, he's got psychological problems. He's got
family problems. Yeah, that was genius. That was great.
That was definitely, yeah.
Money problems. Yeah, I mean, there was nothing that made sense of the show, hence why you continue to get shocked everywhere you came. And then here comes Vito, you know, which is funny because he actually, you know, he had double roles. So at the beginning, he actually played the guy in the store going to get the at the bakery where Michael Imperioli, Christopher, is going to get the Chouradelle and ends up shooting the kid. And he ends up coming back as another role. And then they got this great long scene and episodes of, you know, Vito just doing his thing. And it's the shock. It's just everything right to the ending. So let's get into the ending, because I'm sure everybody wants to know this. And it's the question that I always get asked when I'm doing events with you know, you guys and Sopranos, the ending. What do you think happened, and what do you think of it?
Oh, great question.
I got to tell you, my initial response, well, actually, when watching it, as everybody probably thought, I thought my TV died. I thought my TV went out. You know, I was like, okay, get on the phone with Verizon and just like, just scream at them and be like, what, you know, really? Yeah. I need to see this, because that was before DVR, you know. We couldn't DVR it or, you know, so I'm like, what the fuck is that? You know, what happened, man? What's going on here? Like, you know, so I was shocked. It's like I was shocked and I wasn't, because, again, knowing David, he would do something like that. But I think my personal opinion was, I remember Gandolfini, you know, Tony's Gandolfini, Tony, the character, saying something that to Paulie Walnut, saying, you know, when the end comes, you're never going to see it. Everything just goes to black.
Yeah.
So
that's right. He says that when he was on the boat.
I believe he said that.
Yes, right. Yes. That's exactly right.
So I think that that was kind of, you know, the metaphor of, to remember this line, you know, almost like the movie The Sixth Sense. Everything, you know, the doorknobs are red, everything's red, and then the ring drops, and then you have to kind of go back and figure it out. It's like a puzzle.
I think that's what the Sopranos are.
I think that's what happened, you know. And I think he does get shot. I think he does get killed, you know. It just goes to black and you won't see that. But
we'll never know. Even though there was an article out, and I'll talk to Michael about that in a second. But get this, John, you're going to laugh. I just streamed The Sopranos this year. I just went through all six seasons. Mm-hmm. I've never watched it. And I'm 46 years old. Never watched it. Former professional wrestler. So maybe at that time I was never watched the show. And I streamed it. And when I saw that last part, I'm like, what the heck happened here? Like, I'm seeing all this scenes,
happened, right?
seeing this scene go through, and I'm like, you know, I'm a story guy as a wrestler. I look and I'm like, okay, there goes the daughter. There goes him sitting down. There goes someone going in the door. Okay. He's getting shot. He's getting shot by that black guy. That's what I'm thinking in my mind.
Right.
I'm like, he's getting shot by that black guy. And it's a setup, you know, Gandolfini will look right at the guy with the members only jacket, walk in, and then those black kids are going to shoot him. Because remember the storyline, two black kids tried to kill him before, him off at like season one or two. So there you go. I thought, and then when it hit black, I'm like, what happened? No one's going to tell anything. So you watch the credits. Yeah, I'm watching the credits. I'm saying anything. And then that was the ending. And I'm still wanting an ending, Michael. Can you make that happen? It's erotica.
Well, I think everybody has the same, you know, I've talked to hundreds or thousands of people at this point, and that's such an important question. And I think at the time everybody was pissed, but you know what? At the end of the day, here we are still talking about it. Everybody has a different idea. I think that, you know, life goes on for him. I think that, you know, nothing happened in it. I think that David Chase is just a sheer genius. I'd like to think that there was a movie in its future and it was left that way to make the movie. And I think because life is just full of obstacles and it throws all kinds of curveballs, who would have thought, you know, James Gandolfini in his prime would pass away? Yes.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.